United States Institute of Peace, along with SiriusXM's POTUS Channel 124, now present their weekly podcast.
Joining us now is Ambassador William B. Taylor, Jr. He's also the Vice President of the Russia and Europe Center at the United States Institute of Peace, and of course, a former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine. Ambassador Taylor, welcome back. How are you?
Good, Laura. Thank you very much for having me back.
I'm glad that you're here. You know, obviously, just last week, we saw signed into law from the President of the United States the bill from Congress that included aid to Ukraine, also to Israel, and of course, the Indo-Pacific region. Now that funding has been passed, what does it mean for the Ukrainians on the ground?
It means for the Ukrainians on the ground that they have the hopes of very soon having artillery shells again. They were almost out, Laura. They had run down their stocks because we paused. For 6 months since the request was made for these funds, nothing happened. So finally, as you just said, last week it was voted and approved and the president signed. And these shells and ammunition for artillery, they're on the way now. Presumably they are very close. But what it means for the soldiers, the Ukrainian soldiers on the ground, is there's hope that soon they'll be able to fire back at the Russians. The Russians have been taking advantage of this pause, taking advantage of the fact that the Ukrainians didn't have much artillery and other weapons, and the Russians have made some progress. So this is a big deal for the Ukrainians. It's a morale boost, but it's also going to allow them to shoot back.
The fact that they had already almost been totally out, and we hear about a stalemate happening right now in many respects, the absence of artillery, is that, or now the replenishment of it, is that going to make the difference, or is more extreme something's needed?
It's not going to make the enormous difference. What it will allow the Ukrainians to do is stop the Russians from their grinding progress that they've made. Let's be frank. The Russians have actually made some progress over the past month or two in the eastern part of the country, a little town called Avdiivka. The Russians finally took, and they've been pushing even past Avdiivka in the western direction. And what this artillery ammunition will do, what these funds will do, will allow the Ukrainians to stop that, to hold on, to defend themselves, to maintain what they've got while they rebuild. The Ukrainians need to rebuild, they rearm, refresh. They need more soldiers, Laura. They need to be able to get more people in the army to be able to then, next year, maybe late this year or early next year, start to push the Russians back again. So this allows them to make it into the later part of this year.
One of the big criticisms you heard from people who voted no in this bill, that obviously, of course, has already been signed into law, is that, and I was speaking, I think, with Senator Ron Johnson just last week from Wisconsin, and he made the point that he felt that essentially, and I'm paraphrasing his words here, that the provision of continued funds to Ukraine was a bit of an exercise in futility because he did not see it being possible that Russia could be stopped fully, and that he kept asking the question, to what end? You've obviously heard this criticism about the possible inability to complete the mission against Russia. Is that a genuine concern that you think should be taken seriously?
Of course we should take it seriously, but it is very clear Ukrainians can stop the Russians, and they've done that. They've pushed the Russians way back. Yes, it's hard right now, there's no doubt, but the Ukrainians can push them back. The Russians are having their own set of difficulties, and this shot in the arm for the Ukrainians gives them the confidence, gives them the ability to look forward over the next couple of months and even a year in order to win this. So they know, the Ukrainians know they can win this. They know they have to win this because they have heard Putin say that they want, that the Russians want to just wipe the Ukrainians off the map. So the Ukrainians know what they're fighting for. And now they've got the promise and the expectation that the United States and Europe is going to be with them. They can win this.
When you look to the funding that has been provided, is it sufficient? I mean, obviously, this is a replenishment in some respects, but it's going to take a lot more resources to get, and over a sustained period of time. What more do you think is needed? And is it simply coming from the United States, or is there more of a diplomatic solution as well?
It's not just coming from the United States. We've provided kind of the bulk of the military assistance, but the Europeans have stepped up, and they've actually provided more overall assistance. The Europeans have provided more in terms of economic assistance and some military assistance than we have. So the Europeans are stepping up. We have stepped up, and again, we have provided this at the last minute to enable the Ukrainians to move forward. But there is the opportunity now for the Ukrainians to push the Russians back. When that happens, Laura, when the Ukrainians can stabilize and then push the Russians back, the Russians may find that it's the Russians who want to negotiate an end to this war. And if they ask the Europeans and ask the Ukrainians, in particular the Ukrainians, Ukrainians, if they're doing well, may say yes.
Is there, and you've written about this for the USIP as well, along with your colleague, and you talk about the idea of any options to potentially institutionalize funding. What would that mean?
So one of the things it means is that the Ukrainians are going to need over time the ability to stop the Russians. Even if they push the Russians back out right now, the Russians still pose a threat. So there needs to be some overtime ability for the West to provide the Ukrainians ability to defend themselves. And so that is already starting to happen. There are probably around 30 nations, and most NATO nations and others, who are signing up to provide the Ukrainians with assistance long term to enable them to build up the ability to stop the Russians from invading again. As we put in that piece, the only way that this war is going to end is for the cause of that war to end. And the cause of that war is the Russian invasion. And that is what it's going to take to be able to have the Ukrainians able to defend themselves over time from another Russian invasion.
Now, I used the word diplomatic earlier, and obviously I'm consistently wondering about even the possibility of diplomacy, or diplomacy as we presently defined it. Is that possible with all that has taken place?
Not now, sadly, Laura. It's not now possible because the Russians are not serious about negotiating. The Russians say, oh, we'll negotiate if Ukraine surrenders. Ukraine is not going to surrender. They've demonstrated that they are in this until they win. And frankly, the Ukrainians have put out their own set of points. They have what they call a 10-point peace formula that they've been talking about with the international community over the past 6 or 7 months. And they have a vision of what peace would look like. And again, when the Russians stop their attacks, when the Russians are pulling back because the Ukrainians are pushing them back, the Russians may well come to the table, at which point the Ukrainian 10-point plan, peace formula, will have the kind of support that it's been developing over internationally over the last 6 months. And that will be the time for diplomacy.
You know, it's devastating to think about the idea of a delay in this, but who needs to come to the table in order to make that happen? And what role should the United States play in the possibility of diplomacy? And frankly, I wonder if we're indeed welcome by both sides.
Actually, I think we are welcome by both sides. The Russians would rather negotiate with us than negotiate with the Ukrainians. And that's a mistake. That's wrong. That won't happen. It has to be in the end, the essence of the negotiation will clearly be the Russians and the Ukrainians. However, there are issues that the United States will have some say about. There are issues that NATO will have some say about. The Ukrainians would definitely like to have us at the table. So I think we'll play a role. We'll play a role. The time for diplomacy will come. There's no doubt that in the end, when the Ukrainians have made progress militarily, then that will be the time for diplomacy. I think the Americans will be there. I think the Russians will be happy to have us.
Do you think there has been an impact on the morale or the relationship between Ukraine and the United States, given the delays on Capitol Hill to get this funding?
Yes and yes. I think there was real concern. I've been to Ukraine 7 times since the big war started in February 2022, and I saw over time the concern, in particular over the past 6 months, on the part of many Ukrainians, soldiers, civilians, government officials, worried that the support, that the weapons were delayed and they weren't coming. And they were worried. The Ukrainians were worried about this, and it affected their morale, no doubt. And last week, the morale shot up when the Congress passed and the president signed this bill. It was immediate. I talked to my friends on the front line. I talked to my friends in the government. I talked to my friends in the private sector in Ukraine, and the morale was amazingly on the way up. There was a boost in morale. The Americans are there. The Europeans will be there. So this gave them a big boost. They still have hard time. Let's be clear. They have to get a lot of soldiers into the army. This assistance is not yet there. It's probably just barely becoming apparent on the front lines. So they've got a big job to do, but the morale is much higher than it was 2 weeks ago.
Really important to get your perspective in particular. Thank you so much for joining us today. I encourage everyone to read his latest piece for the USIP on Ukraine's new U.S. lifeline, why it's vital and what's next. Ambassador Bill Taylor, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it so much.
Laura, thank you for having me very much.
This podcast has been brought to you by the United States Institute of Peace and SiriusXM's POTUS, Channel 124.